is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 5200 Evidence Cove, Spicewood, Texas, 78669. Or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we continue the series, Twisted Prophecies in the New Bible Versions. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Fernando Ortega with I Need Thee Every Hour, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
Thank you. bless me now, my Savior. I come to Thee.
King James Bible, Revelation 21, verse 6 says, "And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the waters of life freely." But the NIV says, "To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost." Oh boy. "From the spring of the water of life." "To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost." Now, friends, Jesus cost. He shed his blood for you. You know, what are they trying to say here? Salvation comes without cost? Jesus suffered greatly for it. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But the NIV says, "Well, whoever's thirsty, I will give to drink without cost." That's without money. That's what that means. And the New American Standard Version says, "I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost." Wow. It says in the King James Bible, "of the water of life freely." That means a lot different thing than without cost. Well, goodness gracious. Finally, Revelation 13, verse 1. The King James says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy." Well, the NIV says, "And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea." "And I saw a beast coming out of the sea. He had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on his horns, and on each head a blasphemous name." Now think about it. The King James says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea." But the NIV says, "And the dragon stood on the shore of the sea." So who is standing upon the shore of the sea? The Apostle John says in the King James, "I stood upon the sand of the sea. I was there. And I saw this beast rise up out of the sea." But the NIV says it was the dragon. He was the one standing on the shore of the sea. The New American Standard says, "And he," that's the dragon, "stood on the sand of the seashore." A little bit confused there, isn't it? Who was it? Well, now Revelation 13, we're still in the 13th chapter of Revelation, verses 9 through 10. Says, "If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints." But the NIV says, "If anyone is to go into captivity, he will go. If anyone is to be killed with a sword, he will be killed." This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of the saints. Wow. Now, this is different. The King James says, "He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity." But the NIV says, "If anyone is to go into," maybe nobody's going to go. That changes everything. "If anyone is to go into captivity." But the King James says, "He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity." But the NIV says, "If anyone is to go." There's changed quite a bit, isn't it? Here is the patience and the faith of the saints, the King James says. But the NIV takes out the patience and the faith and calls it the endurance, patient endurance and faithfulness. Now the New American Standard Version says, if anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone is destined for captivity. But King James says, he that leadeth into captivity. But here it says, if anyone is destined. Well, again, quite a difference. Now, Revelation 13, we go on and it says, here is wisdom, and this is very important. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That translates to 666. So here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. But the NIV is, now listen to this, I want you to get the difference here. This calls for wisdom. Now the King James says, here is wisdom. It's plain out, it's flat wisdom. That's wisdom. But the NIV says, this calls for wisdom. The NIV says, if anyone has insight, but King James said, let him that hath understanding. I think understanding is much greater than insight. Understanding means you see all the aspects of it. You see the downfalls and the upbraiding. You see everything there. The NIV says, if anyone has insight, calculate the number of the beast. Calculate. But the King James says, count the number of the beast. Now some would say, well, calculate means the same. Really? I'm not sure. The NIV goes on to say, for it is man's number. Isn't that different than it is the number of a man? Think now, the King James is saying, it is the number of a man. But the NIV says, for it is man's number. Now, I've had many people that explain the NIV this way, that the number 666 is man's number. That's all men's number. Every man in the universe has the number 666. That's just man's number. But the King James makes it very clear. It is the number of a man, and his number is 666. But the NIV says, for it is man's number. Wow. Now the New American Standard Version says, here is wisdom. That's okay so far. Let him who has understanding, same as the King James, calculate the number of the beast. Now, that's different than count the number of the beast. For the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Okay? That's close to the King James. And that's different than the NIV. Now, Revelation 13, verse 17 is quite interesting. The King James says, and that no one might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. And the NIV, though, changes it. It says, so that no one could buy or sell unless he had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of his name. So the mark in the NIV, the mark is the name of the beast or the number of his name. But in the King James, the mark can be separate. says, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You can have one of three things. You can have that evil mark, the mark of the beast, or you can take upon yourself the name of the beast, or you can take upon yourself the number of the beast. Three ways to kill yourself, you might say. But the NIV says the mark is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Really? That's the mark? There's no separate mark? It looks like to the NIV is that the mark is the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, the New American Standard Version says, and he provides that no one should be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. The mark is seen there as the name of the beast or the number of his name. It's not a separate entity. The King James is the only one of these three that has it as a separate entity. The mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. You can see, you miss it by a wide mark, so to speak. You know, there's just so much missing from these new versions of the Bible. I really worry about Christians who depend on them to study the Word of God. You know, Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19 says this, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. My friends, that's in Revelation 22. Think about it. If you add one word, if you add to these things, God will give you the plagues that are written in the book of Revelation. And if you take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, that's the book of Revelation, God will take your part out of the book of life. That's a great penalty to pay, isn't it? That's because God considers every one of his words sacred. They are pure, he says. He doesn't want them changed. God is everlasting. You know, I get into debate sometimes with people who don't believe the way I do about the Constitution of the United States. And these people say, well, you know, conditions change. Technology changes. We're a different nation than we used to be. So the present judges on the U.S. Supreme Court have to change things. They say, my friends, we have a living Constitution. It's a living document. It can change. You know, our founding fathers say nothing in there about abortion. Why? It was against the law to commit abortion. But now they say an abortion is perfectly okay. It's constitutional. Well, find for me in the Constitution where it says it's all right to have an abortion. It's not there. The Supreme Court of this land made it all up. They made it up. There's nothing in there that gives you the right to have an abortion. Nothing. They knew, our founding fathers knew that an abortion was wrong. It violates God's law. It's murder. You know, famous pastor down in Florida said, I believe abortion's okay. I've never heard a preacher, he said, say that an abortion is murder. Really? Well, I heard quite a few. And that's what I believe. I believe that abortion is murder, the murder of a little child. And what about homosexual marriages? Can you imagine George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or John Adams, one of the great founding fathers, saying, well, that's in our Constitution, homosexual marriages. No, no, no. That's not in our Constitution. That's a fabrication of the U.S. Supreme Court. They have updated the Constitution. Now, folks, that's what these pastors do with our Bible. They say we're just updating it. No, they're fabricating it. They're creating words. They're adding to it. They're taking away from it. And that's why God put this penalty in Revelation 22. He says, if any man add unto these things, God will add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city. Friends, you can't change the Bible. The Bible will be here forever and ever. It's forewritten by God. And God wanted these things in his Bible, evidently, from the very beginning. You know, he also knew you from the beginning. Did you know that? That's what it says in the Bible. That God knew us before we were ever born. How can that be? Well, it is. It's true. God knew everything about you before you were ever born. He knew what your genes were going to be like. He knew what color hair you would have. He knew the day you were going to die, the day that you were born. Isn't that an amazing thing? Let me repeat that. God knew the day that you would die, actually, before you were ever born. So, now, there are other things in this these new versions that I want to warn you about. The new translators, they just took these things out. For example, the NIV, 1 Peter 2:6, mentions a stone. But in the King James Version, it mentions a chief cornerstone. Friends, a chief cornerstone is different than just a simple stone. And listen to this. In the NIV and NASB, in verse after verse after verse, they use the word teaching. But in the King James Bible, that same word is translated as doctrine.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.